Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Tonight, I want to talk to you from one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament. I love the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is probably my favorite, Habakkuk too. But Isaiah and Habakkuk are my two favorite prophets. Isaiah is my favorite major prophet, and Habakkuk is my favorite minor prophet. Do you know the difference in major prophets and minor prophets? Major prophets write long books. Minor prophets write short books. There are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. There are only, I think, three or four in the book of Habakkuk. But in the book of Isaiah, there's so many wonderful things. And there's one particular chapter that I've meditated on for years. And the more I meditate on this passage, the more the Lord shares with me. And tonight, I want to share with you, I just want to share some of the meditations the Lord has given me from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. The first time I taught on this in Lakewood Church, it was the first time I'd ever spoken in Lakewood Church, from this verse, I gave five things that worship will do for you. And we will probably touch on that, but this passage is about so much more than just worship. It's about prayer. It's about intercession. It's about intimacy with God and what God wants to do for us. So let's jump right in. And I'm going to look at it one verse at a time and talk to you about each verse, because the Lord, this is the way you meditate. The more you read a verse, the more you meditate on a scripture, the more the Lord will share with you from that scripture. The more depth He will give you in understanding. So you may get something that I've never gotten before, just as we're sharing tonight. So let's begin. Let's begin with verse one. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Now this is Isaiah writing, and he's writing in the year that King Uzziah died. I want to start there because it really will explain to you why he was coming before the Lord that day. Uzziah was crowned king when he was 16 years old. And he actually reigned for 52 years. That's a really long time for a king in Israel or in any country back in those times. And he did what was right. The Bible says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And as long as he did what was right in the sight of the Lord blessed him. But now you can read his story in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. You can read this. But then, maybe it was toward the middle or the end of his reign, pride entered his heart. Pride is a dangerous thing. He began to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Romans chapter 12 says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. The Amplified Bible says, don't get an exaggerated opinion of yourself. He got an exaggerated opinion of his importance. He began to think that all the things that had done and had been done during his reign, it was all about him and not about God. And so he decided that he was going to go in the temple and he was going to offer incense before the Lord. Now that was forbidden for a king. Kings were not allowed to do that. That was something only the priests could do. But he presumed on the Lord and on himself that he was important enough that he could do that. So he went into the temple and he got the incense burner and he filled it with incense and he started to offer it. And the priest said, oh no, please don't do this. Please don't do this. You're not supposed to do this. You're not. And he got so angry. I think it says he threw down the incense. And when he did, when he violated God's law like that, he broke out in leprosy all over his body. Leprosy was the worst disease you could possibly get during that particular time in history. If you got leprosy, it was very contagious. You had to leave your family. There were colonies you could go and live in. If you went outside and walked down the streets, you had to cry, unclean, unclean, so no one would come near you because leprosy was so horrible. And so they built him a little house. And he lived out the rest of his life in that little house, isolated. He couldn't sit on his throne. He couldn't rule his kingdom. He was isolated. He was sick. Now his son took over and began to rule and reign. His dad, I'm sure, helped him, told him what to do. But the year that he died, Isaiah felt this great burden. What am I going to do? I'm the prophet. The people are going to come to me. They're going to want me to tell them what God wants them to do. They're going to want me to endorse the king. What shall I do? He was overwhelmed. And so he went into the temple to pray. You know, trouble draws us to the Lord. I've taught the Bible for about 60, 65 years. And in those years, it's amazing the number of women that have come to my Bible study because they were going through a divorce and their heart was broken. Or they had cancer and the doctors had told them there was no hope for them. And somebody said, I know a Bible study where they'll pray for you. I know a Bible study where they'll stand with you. I've seen many women healed. I've seen marriages restored. But they came there originally because they were going through something that was overwhelming. The reason I'm telling you that is because what I'm about to teach you tonight, what I'm about to show you tonight, will direct you to a way for you to get free. It will show you how to touch God and how to hook into God so God can deliver you. God can rescue you. God can show you what to do. He did it for Isaiah, and he'll do it for you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, I know that Isaiah was in the temple because the train of God's robe filled the temple, and he couldn't have known that unless that was where he was praying. I believe he was in the temple. I rather think he was alone in the temple, because as you read through this, I don't hear anything about crowds or anybody talking to him or the priest asking him if he can join him in prayer. No, I think Isaiah was alone in the temple and he was praying. He was very concerned about the condition of his nation. I'm very concerned about the condition of our nation. And I believe God has an answer for our nation. And I believe it's his glory. I believe it's his glory. But he was concerned. He knew the people were looking to him. And he felt, he probably didn't feel adequate to meet the needs of the people. So he went to God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. First, I want to point out that he saw the Lord. Now, what does it mean to see the Lord? If I came into the church and I was overwhelmed and I knelt down and began to pray, and the same thing happened to me that happened to Isaiah, would I actually physically see the Lord? Well, I believe he did. But I believe this. I believe when you enter God's presence in worship or in prayer, in sincere worship or sincere prayer, that you will begin to perceive the presence of the Lord. I was talking to a lady on the phone the other day that lives in another state that I've ministered to over the years. She's a real sweet lady. And she said, you know, I was praying the other day. I was just kneeling by my bed and I just started weeping. And I can't tell you what I felt. And I don't know why I was weeping. I know why she was weeping. She felt the presence of the Lord. She began to perceive that God was in the room. And I just believe that God wants us to know when he's in the room. In Isaiah's case, he actually saw the Lord. But that's not all. He saw that God was sitting on his throne. If you are in this room and you are going through something, you need to know without a doubt that God is on the throne. He's not standing up, pacing, worrying. He's seated on his throne. He's resting on his throne. He's in control of the universe. And he's in control of your life. And he's in control of my life. And there's nothing the devil can do to overcome God. You may feel like he's overcoming you, but hey, get in the temple. Get before him. And I believe tonight, before you leave, there's going to be a change. You may say, well, Billy, he's in the heavenlies, and I'm down here. He's up there in glory, and I'm in the nasty now. Oh, We'd have to read on. Because yes, he's on his throne, but he's also as near to you as a prayer. As near to you as a prayer. Now listen to this line. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think God dresses in the same type of garments that we dress in. Actually, God is a spirit. The Bible says God is a spirit. And if you worship God and please him, you have to worship him in spirit. But there's a psalm that tells us about how God is clothed. It's Psalms 104, verse 1 in the NIV. And it reads like this. Lord, my God, you are very great. Now listen, this is how he's clothed. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. Oh, isn't that glorious? God is clothed with glory. Say glory. In the Old Testament, there's a word called Shekinah. And it has to do with the glowing, the light, the glory that surrounds God. So what Isaiah saw when he said the train of his robe filled the temple, he saw light. It was coming from the temple, and it was coming down into the sanctuary, into the temple where he was. And it wasn't any ordinary light. It was the Shekinah glory of God. There's another scripture that talks about that. It was when Solomon built the temple. Tells you what happens when God reveals this glory in a place. It says that when they were dedicating the temple, that they began to play their instruments, they began to sing, they began to worship God. And when it happened, the cloud of God's glory, and it's called a cloud. It wasn't called the train of his robe, it's called a cloud there. But look at this verse. This is 2 Chronicles 5:14. So when the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So in this particular instance, when the cloud, the glory of the Lord, it was by that cloud he led the Israel through the wilderness during the day, and at night it appeared as a flame of fire. But in both cases, it was the glory of God. And when it filled the temple, they fell. The priests actually fell down. They couldn't stand up to minister. There are places in the Bible where it says when the Lord appeared to somebody or an angel appeared to them, they became as a dead man. Have you ever read that in the Bible? What does that mean? It means the glory was so great in that place that they just fell over. Now, this is wonderful, isn't it? The train of his robe filled the temple. The glory is the outflowing of God. Say the outflowing of God. Oh, I love that. Well, you know, I always thought that was wonderful. But today, the temple of God is not a building. Now, that was a building that Isaiah was in. It was the temple of God. But when Jesus was on the earth, he made a statement that just astounded everybody around him. They were sitting looking at the temple. They were admiring what a beautiful temple it was. And he made this statement. If you destroy the temple, this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. And they thought, are you crazy? Do you know how long it took to build this temple? And the Bible says they didn't understand. He was talking about the temple of his body. When Jesus died and rose again, what he was really telling them is the dwelling place of God on earth has moved. God dwelt in that temple. The Holy of Holies was where God dwelt. They knew God was in the Holy of Holies. But Jesus said, I need to tell you, he's not in the temple anymore. He's in me, and you can destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'm coming back. Not only that, when he went back to heaven, he said to his disciples, I want you to go and wait, because as soon as I get to heaven, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. This is in Acts, the first couple of chapters. As soon as I get back to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He said in John 14, he has been with you because he was in Jesus, but now he's going to be in you. Wow, what does that mean? Well, it means we're the temple of God. So if we're in the temple now and God shines forth his glory, where is he going to shine it forth? And the train of his robe filled the temple. Oh, my Lord, it will fill us. He wants to fill us up with himself. He wants to fill us up with himself. Actually, I want to give you a scripture for that, and it's 1 Corinthians. Is it 1 Corinthians? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Did you know that? Wow, think about that. Whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, hath he quickened, hath he made alive by his spirit. He put his very own spirit in your spirit. You say, I don't feel like I have the Spirit of God in me. It's not about how you feel. It's about who he is. And the Spirit of God in you is like, it's sort of like a magnet, a holy magnet that attracts God the Father and attracts God the Son and pulls them to you. And the Holy Spirit will begin to fill you up and he will begin to minister to you. Oh, it's so powerful. I wish I could make you understand this. This is what the glory is. It's Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope, the expectation of glory. Christ, the anointing. You know, actually, Christ is not a name. It's a title. Jesus Christ. Jesus, the anointed one. And now, he says in Colossians of us, Christ in you, the anointing of the anointed one in you, is the hope, the expectation of the Shekinah glory of God filling your temple. Wow. So when we enter into intense prayer, when we worship, then God begins to manifest himself. You begin to perceive the movement of God. Have you ever been standing in worship and maybe we were singing a song, a wonderful song, and you just began to feel God? Anybody ever that happened? Three of you. I hope it happens to all of you in the future. There have been times when I began to weep as we were singing because the power of God was in the place. The glory of God was sweeping through the building. You couldn't see it because the glory to our natural eye is invisible, but you could feel it. You could sense it. That's why we sing before pastor ministers, because when we worship God from our spirit, we release the glory. The glory that's housed in you, you need to know this. When you stand up and begin to sing the worship and begin to worship God in song, that glory inside you comes out your mouth. And it begins to fill the building with the glory of God. And God begins to move. People can be healed in that atmosphere. People can be set free in that atmosphere. That's the atmosphere of heaven. That's the atmosphere of heaven. So when we pray, when we worship, we release this wonderful glory that's deposited inside us through the Holy Spirit into the atmosphere. And it creates an atmosphere where God can move. You can do it at home. You can do it in your car. You can do it wherever you are. I keep worship music going in my car all the time when I'm alone because I want the glory of God to manifest around me all the time. And it does. It does. So then he said something else. He gives us a lesson about seraphim. Let's read a little bit more. This is in verse 2 through 4. Above the throne of God stood seraphim. Say seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. With 2 he covered his feet. And with 2 he flew. And one cried to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the doors were shaken at the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Oh, wow. What in the world would we do if all of a sudden the Lord drew back the curtain and you saw seraphim? Now, the word seraphim means flaming ones. It looked like they were on fire. because the glory had, they had absorbed the glory from God. And it looked, can you imagine these six flaming wings? These creatures, if they came into the building and they had six flaming wings, you'd all jump under your chairs. We would, wouldn't we? But there's a lesson to be learned about worshiping God from the description of these beautiful creatures. Beautiful. They're above the throne of God. They worship day and night. That's what they do. That's why they were created. They worship day and night. And so it says, with two of their wings, they covered their face. With two, they covered their face. Now, this, your eyes are on your face, and your eyes in the Bible represent your mind. So what are they telling us? That we cannot worship God through our mind. We worship God through our spirit. You can't figure out in your mind how to manipulate God because he won't be manipulated. But you can release your spirit to him. You can cry out to him. You can pour out your heart to him. You can tell him your needs and he will hear you. He will hear you. You don't do it with your mind, you do it with your spirit. With two, they covered their feet. We don't worship through our natural strength or might. If I just got up here to teach you in my natural strength and might, it would be horrible. It may not be much better. It is better. It's always, the Holy Spirit helps me. If the singers got up to sing in their own strength and might, it wouldn't move you. But it's, you know, Zechariah said it like this, the latter part of verse 6. It isn't by your might. It isn't by your power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. By my spirit, saith the Lord. You may say, I don't understand the Spirit of God. You don't have to understand him. Just worship him. Just worship him. Just go before him and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you in spirit and in truth. I want to feel your presence. I need you. I need you, Lord. And then with the other two, he flew. You know, worship has the ability to cause you to soar above your circumstances. I used to sing a song called Spirit Wings, and it says, I have spirit wings. They lift me high above all earthly things. And the second verse says, when I feel discouraged, I just look to you. Soon my heart is soaring high above. All my troubles look much smaller from God's point of view when I'm lifted up on spirit wings of love. Spirit wings. Spirit wings. Well, we have to move on or our time will be gone. So we see we saw God on his throne. We see the angels. And something happened. Now, this is something that when you really get in God's presence happens to you. When Isaiah got in that atmosphere, something happened to him. He saw God. He saw the angels. He experienced the glory. And then he looked at himself. And look what the next verse says in verse 5. Isaiah said, woe is me. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When you get in God's presence, all of your weaknesses will surface. All of you say, oh, I don't want my sins to surface. Well, you can't get rid of them if they don't surface. But they surfaced. And God just didn't leave Isaiah like that. Isaiah was distressed. He thought, oh, my eyes have seen the King. I'll die because I have sin in my life. And the people around me have sin in their life. And I've seen the King. But look what happened. Look what the Lord did. He sent one of those seraphim. One of the seraphim flew to me. Now, that would be pretty scary, wouldn't it? And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sins are purged. There's cleansing in the presence of God. The good news is we don't live in the old covenant. We live in the new covenant. And 1 John tells me that all I have to do to get rid of those sins when they surface, if I will confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good news? That is excellent, excellent news. Now, here's a problem that we often have. When we get into God's presence, when we experience Him, when we pray and we ask God to forgive us and He cleanses us, it feels so good. It feels so good to know your sins have been lifted, to know you've been in God's presence, to have felt His presence. And many people get up and leave. Oh, if you leave here at this point, you'll miss the best part. You'll miss the best part. I think, you know, there was a great move of God a number of years ago, and it was called the Salvation Revivals. And many people were saved in that particular period of time. But they would leave after they got saved. They wouldn't stay before the Lord and continue to worship Him. And there's something that happens. There's something that happens when you stay before the Lord. Look at verse 8. We're almost done. Then Isaiah, this is the first part of verse 8. Then Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" When you have been in His presence, when your sins are cleansed, your ears are opened and you can hear the voice of God. It may not be an audible voice. And it may, in his case, he heard God ask him a question. And God may ask you a question. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? But in your case, it may be something else. For you, it may be God will suddenly drop wisdom in your heart about how to solve a problem. In you, it may be that suddenly faith rises to believe God for a healing you've been standing for. If you'll just wait a little while in the presence of God and listen for the voice of God, you're cleansed, you're ready for God to move in your life now. And don't get in a hurry. We live in such a hurried world. But don't get in a hurry when you're in the presence of God. Don't get in a hurry. You know, I always get amused at the last statement that we're going to look at, because Isaiah, as far as I know, was by himself. So here God is above him, and he says, who will go for us? Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And I can just see Isaiah. Here I am. Can you use me? Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. There's an excitement that comes when you hear the voice of the Lord. There's an assurance that comes when you hear the voice of the Lord. There's a wisdom that comes. It'll put you, when you're in that place with God, it'll put you not only to hear His voice, to put you in a place of cooperation with what God is doing in the earth. I want to be a part of what God's doing. How about you? I want to be a person that prays. I want to be a person that worships. I had a work before I started teaching. I led worship and I led choirs and I did special music. So music is very special to me. But I learned the secret of worship. When you come in, don't just sing. Worship. Begin to open your heart and listen for the voice of God. And allow Him to pull you into His presence. Because God wants to set you free. God wants to heal your body. God wants to give you new direction. God wants to encourage you. God loves you. And He wants to fill you with who He is. He wants the glory of God to fill your temple. Do you want that? Oh, I want that. Let me pray for you, Father. Here we sit in your presence. And Lord, I know it's your great desire to visit us with your glory, to not just have the glory inside us that we're not really feeling because we don't know how to yield to it, but you want to touch us. You want us to experience what Isaiah experienced in the presence of God. So I ask you, Father, tonight to touch us. Heal hearts. Renew people's spirits. Oh, Lord, bring peace to the minds of troubled people. I thank you, Lord, that freedom comes in your presence. Release comes in your presence. Direction comes in your presence. And oh, Lord, move in our presence tonight and do what you want to do in Jesus' name. Now, with your eyes closed, let me ask you this question. Are you in the building tonight and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? Oh, what a wonderful opportunity to do it right now in His presence, to reach up to Him, to touch Him. But if that's you and you want us to pray for you, we're going to pray with you. Raise your hand all over the building. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or you say, "I know I'm born again, Billy, but I haven't been serving the Lord, and I want you to pray for me." If that's you, raise your hand all over the building. All over the building. I see your hands. I see your hands. One last thing. I'm going to lead you in a prayer for rededication. But as we pray this prayer for rededication, after we finish, I want to pray for those of you who really feel like Isaiah. You need to hear from God. You desperately need to hear from God. You need God to touch you. And you want me to pray for you. Raise your hand all over the building. Yeah, I knew you were going to be here tonight because the Lord gave me this message. Let's pray this prayer together. And then as we're closing this prayer, I want to pray for those of you who raised your hand. Pray after me. Dear God, I know I need to be saved. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. As the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, I pray for every person who's going through a difficult time, who needs healing, who needs restoration, who needs a touch from you. Lord, I ask you, by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, let the glory of God, let the train of your garment, Lord, fill our temple tonight. And give us rest and peace and direction. I come against every strategy that Satan may have against the people in this building. We belong to you, my Father. And you said if we bound anything on earth that was bound in heaven, you would bind it for us. So I bind the work of the enemy, the work of division, the work of death, the work of sickness, the work of confusion. I bind it in Jesus' name. And I loose the glorious power of God. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearkchurch.com. Have a great week.